This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstand Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. What a chaotic morning it's been in here. So excited, so wound up, such a good topic. I have to take a deep breath. All right, there we go. It is July 15th. It's somewhere in the middle of July. Thanks for tuning in with us here on the Wake Up Call. And we will get you started. We're going to be talking about chloramines in the water supply. Our two guests today, Dee Dee Smith from Charlottesville City Council and Lori Delahante. She's a researcher in pathology, formerly with the National Cancer Institute. Let me push a few buttons and see if we have their voices ready to go. Lori? Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Good morning, Rick.
And Dee Dee, thank you so much for being here, ladies.
It is still morning, isn't it?
It is some plays and others it's not.
Right.
But it depends on whether you're listening on the radio or online. But the topic, you know, we got a call last week. Sean and I were talking about sort of current events. And one of our callers said, hey, you know, why don't you guys talk about chloramines in the water supply? And I got home and did a little research, and it, later on this month, I believe, there's actually going to be a, what's the proper word that I want, a public hearing on this topic.
Hearing.
And yeah, I said, hey, well, maybe this is a good Sunday to do that.
And it, what it is actually, Rick, is it's what's called a four boards meeting and public hearing. And what the four boards are the City Council, the Board of Supervisors, Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, and the Albemarle County Service Authority. The boards of all four of those public bodies will come together to hear comment on adding chloramines to our water. There was an information session just a couple weeks ago in which they brought in, gosh, how many experts?
They brought in eight experts, and they were from the American Water Association. There were a couple from the Virginia Department of Health. We had two experts come in, one from Pennsylvania, who was Susan Pickford, who is a lawyer from Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. The other was Bob Bocock, who is an associate of Aaron Brockovich, and he came in from California.
And let's just before we forget, your listeners are going, when? This four boards public hearing meeting is on July 25th at 7 p.m. in the Lane Auditorium. That's in the Albemarle County Office Building on McIntyre Road.
All right. So those are our guests today, Dee Dee Smith from Charlottesville City Council, Lori Delahante, a researcher in pathology, as we get ready to talk about chloramines in our drinking water. Folks in Lynchburg's 89.9 and Richmond's 103.1, if you are listening, this is a topic that affects more than just the Charlottesville Albemarle area. And let me thank one of our underwriters like Herb Bennett for allowing us to be on air today. Herb comes with you with your Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield authorized agent. As your local agent in Central Virginia, Herb provides expert knowledge and personal service in designing your health individual insurance plan. Your health is worth protecting, and you shouldn't let it go uninsured. For a quote, you can give Agent Herb Bennett a call at 855-425-0090, or you can go online and visit agentherb.com. All right, back with our guests and today's topic, again, chloramines in the drinking water. And I can't remember who said this, but one of the two of you in that sort of opening statement said, and we had two people on the panel, which makes me think that there's already some sort of divisiveness. A panel of eight, I believe you said, Lori?
A panel of eight. Initially, they were the panel was going to be chosen by the RWSA, and we said we would like to bring in people.
Now, let's not assume that everyone listening knows all these terms as we get started, mm-hmm. because we do have listeners in Harrisonburg and Richmond, and mm-hmm. as I said, the topic Well, specifics today may be about Albemarle, Charlottesville. The topic of chloramines in the drinking water goes much further than that. So not every time, but RWSA is the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority. So that's covering our local drinking water decisions.
Right. That's correct. It not only covers the Charlottesville city, but it also covers a good bit of Albemarle County and the number of people that are currently on the Ravana Water Sewer Water System is about 98,000 people. So that's a pretty large segment of the population.
But again, there's eight people on the panel, and you said two of us.
Well, we had asked the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority to bring on two panelists that would be suggested by the public, and the public suggested a lawyer from Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, who is head of the Chloramine Information Center. The other is Bob Bocock, who is an associate of Aaron Brockovich and who runs the Integrated Resource Management company out in Claremont, California.
And can we just clarify that when Lori says we, there has been a very active citizen group that has arisen in response to the what can only be called a threat of adding chloramines to our system. And so we is actually a growing group of citizens.
You know, a sort of step away for a minute in chloramines, and I'm sure that there's a listening pact today very familiar with chloramines because, as you said, Dee Dee Smith from Charlottesville City Council, a very active group of people against following through with adding chloramines. What are chloramines and why is it being added to the water?
Chloramines is the combination of chlorine and ammonia. And what the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority wants to do is take, instead of using chlorine, and when they chlorinate the water, it has to be tested periodically to look for disinfection byproducts. And chlorine does form disinfection byproducts with organic matter or dirt in the water. And the EPA regulates two classes of those. And in order to bring those numbers down, they want to add ammonia to the water, which reacts to the chlorine. And it will bring down the regulated disinfection byproducts. Now, the advantages for the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority is that chloramine is much more stable than chlorine. It stays in the water for about 28 days. It does not dissipate out. And it stays in the distribution lines longer. And the other reason they like it is because it was the cheapest option available of the menu of water treatment options.
But why are we... So chlorine is in the system and has been in the system for decades?
Oh, yes, a long, long time.
And it's used to make water that has toxins in it, whether it's poop from the cows or poop from the people or stuff that's been on the asphalt as it runs, you know, off the ground and into various collection pots, correct?
Not exactly. A lot of those organics are filtered out, but the chlorine is added at the very last minute before it's sent through the distribution system, mostly to kill pathogens. We're talking about pathogens like typhoid and cholera, which is the original reason why municipal systems started putting chlorine in their system in the first place, is because they were ravaged by huge epidemics of typhoid and cholera at the early part of the 20th century. And disinfection of the water has largely eliminated that.
That's Lori Delahunty. She's a researcher in pathology and formerly with the National Cancer Institute. We also have Dee Dee Smith here, Charlottesville City Council, on today's Sunday morning wake-up call. I'm Rick Moore. So, and now somebody... The Environmental Protection Agency has determined or decided, and I think those are two words with a little different, what's the word that I want? Because I can't think of it. But they mean slightly different things, and I'd like to know which is it. Have they determined it or decided it that chlorine doesn't do enough and we need to add do another step to the process?
Well, you know, basically what the EPA has done is they have said, given that chlorine does produce these byproducts that they've identified as being potentially harmful to human health, they are going to regulate how much of the, how, what concentration of those byproducts is allowed to be ultimately coming out of your taps, you know, into residences and businesses. And they calculated what that concentration was by averaging. Let's back up a little bit. This has to be tested quarterly, so four times a year. At currently in the urban system, it's 12 different sites. And then they averaged all of those together annually within a year and said it could not exceed a certain number. Well, they've just changed the way those calculations are made. They haven't changed kind of how you monitor, but they've changed that you have to actually average over each site as opposed to adding them all, averaging them all together. So it's really a calculation change, and this is just, they say this is what we need in order to assure that people aren't exposed to these byproducts. And one of the things that I, as a city councilor, that I'm really went and investigated was, are we already complying with this new rule? And quite frankly, we are. I'm kind of a data cruncher, so I got the original data. And in crunching it for the new rules, we already comply. We don't have to change our system. And it's a little more complicated than that, but bottom line is we are being told we have to do something, and quite frankly, I don't see the numbers supporting that.
Well, what happens? I mean, there's the two of you, obviously, against putting the ammonia, creating the chloramines in the system. And if you do any research, all I had to do was Google chloramines, and it's all over the Internet, certainly in the United States. Why is it such a big deal? Explain it to the listeners as to why, other than, oh, it creates a few more, you know, negative byproducts, some of which we already have in our system because the chlorine doesn't do it all. Why is it such a big deal?
Well, first of all, it's there have been no proven studies to actually show that it's safe. There have been insufficient studies to actually show any kind of safety for chloramines. In fact, the more and more studies that are coming out now are actually very negative about chloramine. They're finding more and more disinfection byproducts that are formed by chloramine that are not regulated, and some of them are extremely toxic. They are thousands of times more toxic than the ones that are regulated. And it shows that, and these are fairly recent research studies that show that it reacts with ordinary household products. It reacts with medicines to form cancer-causing compounds called nitrosamines.
All right. Mm-hmm. Stop there. Mm-hmm. Such as? I mean, are these things that people take
every day, like Zantac? There was a study of 20 very common pharmaceuticals, including Zantac and a bunch of antibiotics and antipsychotics and Imitrex, which is used for migraine headaches. Lots of commonly used pharmaceuticals react with chloramine to form nitrosamines. Now that's not just medicines, just ordinary household products like shampoos and dish soaps. The shampoo called Suave has been positively identified as forming nitrosamines when in contact with chloramine. And Dawn dish detergent was the worst one they found yet. It forms nitrosamines when in contact with chloramine. This isn't waiting to get to the waste treatment plant to happen. This is going on in your hair. It's going on in your skin, in your tub, and in your sink.
I have well water. Do I need to be concerned?
Not unless you add chlorine and ammonia.
I thought that made a nasty smell.
Right. Well, you have other things to be concerned about. That's for sure. But you don't have to abide by such strict regulations as public water systems.
Right, but you do work here. You work here. You eat here. You do a lot of your business here, and so you're going to be affected by it.
We're talking about chloramines in the drinking water. Some of these specific instances here in the Charlottesville-Albemarle area, but the topic as a whole is being discussed nationwide. Our guest today, Dee Dee Smith from Charlottesville City Council, Lori Delahante. She's a researcher in pathology and formerly with the National Cancer Institute. Dial us up with your questions or comments. We'll take some calls a little later in the program, but write it down, 979-0919, 877-967-6762. Your Intellos wireless phone is *NRN.
There are a couple other health implications for chloramines versus chlorine. One is that chlorine can be filtered out of your water. So, I mean, you know, chlorine has its own threats, its own certainly health issues, but you can filter it out with your just little old, you know,
with my Brita.
Brita, that's what I have. Brita.
Not to
Brita.
Push any particular brand, but right. I guess the highest advertising Brita. Makes that pop in my head first.
Exactly, and medical laboratories, et cetera, can filter out chlorine very easily. Not so with chloramine. There are very complicated, expensive systems that can filter it out, but nothing kind of over-the-counter or even terribly simple. So this is another issue with chloramines, is that for hospitals, particularly dialysis units that are often cited, and medical laboratories, you know, we're becoming quite a center for biotechnology. That would be a big concern for those institutions. Again, I mean, they're already dealing with it with chlorine because they can't have that either. It's just that getting chloramine out of the water is a whole different ballgame.
Well, why is this being considered? I mean, you talked about the EPA with different regulations or a change in the regulations, and Ms. Smith, you discussed how we may not even need to do this, but chloramines is obviously on the list of potential solutions.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
For meeting the new regulations. But why is it on the list if it seems to have so many negatives to it?
Well, I think basically the Water Authority and EPA don't consider it really a threat. They're not in the group of folks who think that this is really potentially down the road just quite a hazard to our society. They think it's very safe, and if it were very safe, then it may be a good alternative to chlorine. And given that these new rules have just been imposed, and while we comply, we bump up against them. Our byproducts are not low everywhere. That, sure, it's not that expensive to change over. Let's change over to chloramine. It's a better system. I mean, that's all I can imagine is that they're thinking, well, this is just upgrading our system. But as we've pointed out, that is not certainly the attitude of a lot of people and a lot of other water systems. And Lori, maybe you can speak to what other water systems have tried and rejected.
Actually, there have been a number of water systems that that first of all have rejected it outright. Leesburg, Virginia, is one of them. They chloramines was proposed for the Leesburg water system, and they ended up rejecting it back in December. Another one that actually tried chloramine and had to revert back to chlorine was Poughkeepsie, New York. Now they have a system that's actually similar in size to the one in Charlottesville, so it was a very good case study. In Poughkeepsie, New York, they implemented chloramines in about 2006, and it was noticed very, very quickly that they had a lead problem. One of the problems with chloramine is that it leaches lead from the pipes, and there was a fiasco in Washington, D.C., where children were poisoned with lead. And so they immediately noticed in Poughkeepsie, New York, that they had a lead problem. It leached the lead out of the pipes. Well, then they tried to remediate that by changing the pH of the water, and that didn't work. And then they tried adding anti-corrosion inhibitor, these corrosion inhibitors, which is zinc orthophosphate, which would try to damp down the corrosive ability of chloramine to leach lead and copper out of pipes. And that didn't work. Everything they tried ended up working against them, and they just threw in the towel and decided to go back to chlorine just this year.
Well, you had the recent meeting, the panel where there were eight different folks on the panel discussing chloramines. And if I remember correctly, there were people on the panel from the Roanoke area, and that gentleman from his water authority said that they'd been doing this for years and there were no problems.
Right, that was Blacksburg.
Blacksburg, thank you.
The director of the Water Authority in Blacksburg. They switched over about 7 years ago. And, yeah, right, he said, yeah, we haven't heard about any problems. And actually, Laura, you might want to speak to this because you brought up a good point.
Actually, we did a little investigative work on that. And so we went to see what kind of public education he had. And so we went to the Blacksburg papers, and we typed in chloramine in the search engines and came up with a zero for the local papers. And then we went to the Roanoke Times, which serves the Blacksburg area, and we the Roanoke Times has a section of it called the Bergs, which serves Blacksburg and Christiansburg, and that really focuses in on them. And we typed in chloramine in the search engine and came up with zero. There were zero articles that even mentioned chloramine. So then we went to the Roanoke Times and typed in chloramine. There were four articles and two PDFs. The first article on chloramine was in June 28th or 29th of 2005, and it was announcing that they had put chloramines in the water. That was announced after the fact, and it was a very short article. There have only been four articles in 7 years about this, and in the water quality report that Blacksburg puts out every year, the word chloramine is nowhere on the water quality report. So it kind of makes you wonder, how many people really do know about this?
But even if they don't know, would there be articles or reports about, because if you go online and look at some of the companies, and I don't know if it was Poughkeepsie, but if you put chloramines in and you get several pages where they have pictures of people after the chloramines were put in with skin problems, and then after the chloramines was taken out in that same area, would these reports of people suffering skin rashes or other problems post-chloramine, would those have made the newspaper, even if you didn't know why?
Not necessarily, if they're not linked to a public cause.
So you think just have a skin problem and it's not necessarily about chloramines because the newspaper hadn't printed that was something being put in the water?
I assume that the implication here is that if you begin to have skin problems after chloramines are added, but you don't know that chloramines have been added, and you know the public health officials don't make that association.
Don't tell
I'm
you.
Just assuming that's the implication here, but you know, I don't even know if that is the major issue. The major issue is there are recognized byproducts that come out of adding chloramine that have not been studied, some of which we know are extremely dangerous. They're certainly not regulated. And it kind of goes to the precautionary principle, is if we don't need to add chloramines to our water, and if there are these increasingly public threats about what chloramines might be found to do to our health. And quite frankly, the other threat is there is a very good possibility that EPA will start regulating more of those chloramine byproducts. And then where do we stand in our water system? It just sort of goes to, should we change our system?
All right, 11:22 on the wake-up call, talking about chloramines in our drinking water. Our guest today, Lori Delahante, she's a researcher in pathology, and Dee Dee Smith on Charlottesville City Council. You're welcome to call in with a question or a comment on the topic, 979-0919, 877-967-6762. Markets of Tigra Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Tonight lows 70 to 75, showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, highs in the low 90s. Right now it's a sunny day outside, 77 in the valley, 81 in Lynchburg, 85 in Richmond, 88 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tigra Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And today's programming also supported by Dixon Disposal. When Dixon picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. Dixon also offers single-stream recycling during the regular pickup. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, it's DixonDisposal.com or call them 434-978-2111. All right, back with our guests, Dee Dee Smith and Lori Delahante. Ladies, real quick, there's a caller coming in just a second. Caller, hang on. One of the things that I did find was that, let me see if I can find my notes, 5.7 million Virginians already drink chlorinated water, which is apparently like nearly 70% of a project to add that into the water system. Can you tell me how long that's been going on and if those areas have also made a big stink about not putting it in or taking it out now that it's already there?
Well, my thing on that is that, why should Charlottesville be following the lemmings?
I'm not sure many people would accuse Charlottesville of ever following the lemmings.
Well, then there's no reason for us to start. The fact that, many people use it and they've been using it for a long time is still not evidence of safety. To counter that argument, you can even argue that, asbestos has been in use since the Roman times and, tobacco's been smoked since Columbus landed. They've been in use far longer than chloramine, so I guess they must be really, really safe. So, and that's certainly not true. Number of people using it in time of use is still not evidence of safety.
All right, let me take this call.
Okay, I was going to say the other thing to remember is that the byproducts formed by chloramines depend tremendously on the individual system because they're so sensitive to pH changes, to other factors that are in the raw water, and we all have different sources of raw water. So it could be that chloramines in our water could end up being just fine, but there is definitely a threat that they might not be really all that they're cracked up to be.
All right, we got Rebecca from Charlottesville. Rebecca, did you hang with me?
Yes, I did.
All right, your question for the ladies or a comment on the topic?
Well, I have one comment and then a question. My comment is about connecting the presence of chloramines to consequences. We've also heard Lori talked about lead. We've also heard about pinhole leaks and pipes and plumbing gaskets failing. You know, if 5 years from after this stuff is put in the water, your toilet seal fails, you're not going to think to call the water authority. So when an authority says, well, we don't know of any problems, that's not evidence that there are no problems. But my question is this. If it turns out somewhere down the line that EPA says we have to do something, well, what are the alternatives to chloramine? And, what are your guests' position on that alternative? And I'll take my answer off the line.
And thanks, Rebecca.
That's great. Thank you, Rebecca, because that's really the next place to go in this conversation is say we do have to do something, that chlorine is not meeting EPA standards or isn't going to in a few years. What are our alternatives? Well, the second most cost-effective alternative is granular activated carbon, often called GAC. And what it does is it filters out the substrate that reacts with chlorine to create these byproducts, basically the organic compounds. And it is highly preferred, almost by everybody, to adding chloramines. It just happens to be more expensive, or maybe more expensive. And it has a lot of added benefits over chloramine. So this is really becoming one of the central questions is, should we be changing our system to use granular activated carbon rather than adding chloramines, given how many more benefits it has?
And Lori, I know you did some research on some specs on the cost, but give me just a second. By the way, the phone number today for our topic, if you have a question or a comment, 979-0919, 877-967-6762. We are talking about chloramines in the drinking water. Our guest, Lori Delahante, researcher in pathology, also formerly with the National Cancer Institute, Dee Dee Smith, current counselor on the Charlottesville City Council. And we're able to do this today thanks to companies like Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, celebrating 40 years as your local one-stop source for outdoor gear, apparel, and footwear. As the heat of summer settles in, you can stay cool with Blue Ridge's selection of quick dry shirts, board shorts, sandals, and flip-flops. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road here in Charlottesville and at two locations in Richmond. For more information, it's brms.com. All right, Lori, I know We chatted briefly before starting, and you said, hey, some of the expenses related to GAC aren't true. We ran some numbers, and here you go.
Well, we were up very late last night emailing back and forth, crunching numbers. And what we had was we took the Hazen and Sawyer, who's been the consultant for the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, came up with their estimates for granular activated carbon, and it came out to around $18 million for the urban system.
And you're talking about, when you say $18 million, you're talking about for the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority.
That's correct. That's their urban system. That includes the three water treatment plants that comprise the urban system.
But does not include Scottsville and
No, Purgay. They are already going to go on granular activated carbon.
I find that interesting that another part of Albemarle who just doesn't happen to be close enough to get on those pipes has chosen to do it another way.
Well, and that's because of one of the huge advantages of granular activated carbon. They don't have a full-time person to constantly babysit the system. And the fact that you don't need to constantly babysit the system really says something about the resilience and the robustness of this type of system, that you don't have to constantly babysit it all the time. It's got a lot of built-in resilience to it, so it can withstand bumps and goof-ups, basically.
Can I just make a comment to that? It also says a lot about using chloramines that you do have to babysit the system. If you don't have your conditions just right, that's when you start getting into problems with chloramine leaching lead and pinholes. And, you know, chloramines are said to be very safe if you regulate your system 24 hours a day to meet the proper chemical conditions.
Sure, but there are 14-year-olds who need babysitters, and there are 14-year-olds who don't.
Good point.
And I don't
anyway,
even have
Lori,
any 14-year-olds.
Go ahead,
Lori. Back to some of the number crunching.
Yeah, but anyway, Hazen and Sawyer came up with a figure for about $18 million for granular activated carbon, and we had a consultant from the Integrated Resource Management actually review our entire system and the population that is served by that system, and he came up with numbers that were a third of that. In fact, his numbers for the annual, for the 10-year cost would be $6.8 million as opposed to $18 million. And if you were to compare that to the cost of chloramine, it came out to exactly $5.17 per person per year to go on granular activated carbon. $5.17 per person per year is also the exact amount down to the penny as chloramine.
And I'm assuming that you bring this up because others have said that the carbon is more expensive.
Right. The real stumbling block for some of our government officials is that it's too expensive. It's too expensive. They're willing to overlook the health risks and the risk to personal property because it's too expensive. And we have an independent source here that says, no, it is exactly the same price. It is not too expensive. And this is very, very doable.
11:32 here on the Wake Up Call. I'm Rick Moore. Our guests today, Dee Dee Smith and Lori Delahante, talking about chloramines in our drinking water. Again, some of the specifics related to Charlottesville and Albemarle. The topic as a whole, chloramines, is a nationwide issue. Feel free to call us about questions. Give us your comments, 979-0919. A little further out, then use the 877-967-6762. Ladies, we had a call from somebody in Blacksburg asking if there's any effect of chloramine and fluoride. Is there any increased toxicity?
Actually, yes, there is. It turns out fluoride is put into the water in the form of fluorosilic acid. Chloramine and fluorosilic acid work together, and they work together synergistically, which means the effect of those two chemicals working together is greater than the additive effect of those. And they work synergistically to suck lead out of pipes. They leach lead out of pipes like crazy when you have those two chemicals together. And in fact, in Blacksburg, there was a school tap check several months after chloramines was put in. And it was funny, Mr. Higgins didn't even mention this thing, but 19 school taps actually came out with high lead levels, and one of them had a lead level of 3,810 parts per billion, which is more than 250 times over the EPA regulated level of 15 parts per billion.
So we're talking about this topic today. For those who have continued interest, there'll be a public hearing on July 25th at 7 p.m. at the Albemarle County Office Building. I'll try and remember to mention that a couple more times as we go along. And Dee Dee and Lori, there's also a website or a Facebook page.
We do have
that out there right now for more information. We're not going to be able to touch it all.
There is a Facebook page. It is called the Charlottesville Albemarle Residents Against Chloramine. That's C-A-R-A-C. We are on Facebook, and it is all of the up-to-date news and articles and conversations on chloramine.
There's also a petition, isn't there, Lori?
There is a petition. You can access our petition from there also.
Now, the question, I'm going to start with you, but we talk about all the we've talked about all the negative parts to this. I don't think either of you argue that the chloramines would work as a basic. If you just look at whether or not it would do what it is asked to do, would say, yes, it would. We're just overlooking the many, many detriments asking it to take place. So what are the legislative possibilities to preventing this from happening? If there are so many negatives, it seems as though whether they're federal because of the EPA capabilities, or they're local with Charlottesville not following the lemmings, has there been any work done in that manner?
Well, that's a great question, because basically let's start with where are we today? As it turns out, last summer, the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority Board voted to go ahead and change over to chloramines. And what that involved was using the same consultants, Hazen and Sawyer, who did the study, actually were then hired to do the engineering for changing over our system. You know, what would it take? The physical design of doing it. And it wasn't really until that, so that was right around June, August, September, whatever. It wasn't until the end of the year, I guess it was in maybe December, November, December, that people kind of picked up that, wait a minute, we didn't hear anything about this. I mean, it was nothing public. And in fact, what was ironic is that a couple of the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority board members didn't even remember voting for it. I mean, we were in the middle of the water supply debate, and I think it was framed as, oh, this is what everybody does. This will make our system better. No discussion about this controversy, this national controversy about chloramines. And so we kind of came late into the game. It's already 70% designed. They like to say that, 70% designed to convert to chloramines. So really, it is a very good question, is how do we stop this? If it's going to be stopped, and then I say we, if the legislators, who are the ones voting on this, say, whoops, we don't want to do this anymore. Really, what is the process? And, you know, I'm not sure I can answer that.
Well, who are the legislators who vote on it?
Well, this is the same questions that we came up with the water supply. I mean, people sort of didn't even know. In that particular situation, it ended up being the City Council, Albemarle County Service Authority, Ravana Water and Service Authority, those who were directly really making decisions about the water supplies. And I assume those are the same bodies.
I mean, you as a member of Charlottesville City Council could bring forth something and said, hey, let's the five of us vote on not adding this to our system. But then because it also involves Albemarle, the Board of Supervisors could say it's not a big deal. I'd like to understand, and I would think that there are a few listeners who would like to understand, we don't want this to happen.
Right.
Who do we talk to?
Who do you go to? And I'd say, first of all, I mean, make it easy. Come to on July 25th. Talk to everybody. Because as I said before, that's the four boards meeting. And that's those three boards I just mentioned and Board of Supervisors as well. And, you know, quite frankly, if enough elected and appointed officials got the message that, look, this isn't worth it. This is not what our constituents want. Our constituents are willing to pay more if it does cost more. And as Lori was saying, it may not even cost more to go to a system that's safer. And everybody recognizes that GAC is safer. It's taking components out of the water as opposed to adding them in.
And well, I've lived in the area long enough to know that there are probably one or two members of some political body who don't believe that GAC is safer.
Oh, okay.
I realize that I'm talking to someone, whether you want to use the term city council or a politician or whatever phrase you'd like to use, that there is always somebody who says that's not the case.
Right.
And I could pick a name and probably embarrass myself or make them mad, but somebody is going to say it's not true or it's not worth the money and never believe the study that was done about the financing.
Right. Well, you're right. It's going to be a debate, but that's what public process is about. And this is, you know, as I say, we came kind of late into the game in terms of public process. We had that information meeting, but that was just public pressure. That wasn't going to happen, except for city council actually said, look, we need the public to have a say in this. We need to hear what the public has to say. And that's the way the information session came about. And that is then, again, the reason that this four boards meeting is meeting is because the public came forward and said, we didn't have anything to say about this. We didn't even know it was happening. And that's Charlottesville, and it's the beauty of Charlottesville. So, you know, in the end, it could be that the decision will go with chloramine. I mean, that may be the end, decision. But in the meantime, the public will have a lot of opportunity to discuss this and bring forward information that, quite frankly, the decision makers, I can guarantee you, didn't know.
All right, 11:41 here on the Wake Up Call. Our topic today: chloramines in the drinking water. Our guests: Dee Dee Smith, Charlottesville City Councilor; Lori Delahunty, a researcher in pathology and formerly with the National Cancer Institute.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Market for Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on newsstands Thursday. Here's Rick on what you can find on this week's Hook.
Oh, after a tragic double suicide pact with one survivor at Charlottesville's Red Roof Inn, The Hook reports why no charges will be filed by the Commonwealth Attorney. Silverchair CEO Thane Kerner talks about managing one of the fastest-growing private businesses in the country. And James Halfaday receives his sentencing for his 2011 election fraud. The Hook. News in print every week. News online every day. All right, phone lines are open for your question or comment on the topic of putting another chemical in the drinking water. Is it any good? Is it safe? Is it inexpensive? 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's 877-967-6762. Lori, I may be misreading your body language, but you look like you're just waiting to tell me something and share some comment.
We were just discussing on where to go to next, and there's so many topics that we haven't touched on. And one of the big topics is actually environmental.
We've talked about it being bad for the humans. We've talked about it being bad for your pipes.
And now
is it bad for the fish?
It's very, very bad for the fish. One of the advantages why the Water Authority likes it is because it stays in the distribution system for a long time, up to 28 days, whereas chlorine actually dissipates almost immediately when it gets to the open air. If there's a main break, a water main break, and it finds itself into a stream, it will kill the fish. It will kill the aquatic life. There have been two very large fish kills in Virginia recently that resulted in and a lot of dead fish. One of them was in Pimmit Run in northern Virginia. There was a water main break, and this was ordinary tap water and it killed 9 miles of the stream, killed everything down to the earthworms. The other one was in Henrico County near Richmond, and there was a big fish kill there in February. You can't use this for your aquarium. You can't use this for your pond. If you water your lawn and some of it gets into the pond, or your frog pond or your fish pond out in the back, it will kill your fish.
I find this to be, and Didi, again, I direct this to you as the politician, Lori. I don't leave you out of this, but a year ago. And the people, are you on the Ravana board?
No, I'm not. Kathy Galvin is our representative.
So, and there's one from Charlottesville. Is there one from Albemarle?
Ken Boyd, Ken Boyd and Kathy Galvin are the two elected officials. And then there are other, there's Maurice Jones and Judy Mueller, who is Maurice Jones, of course, our city manager and our director of public works. And then two comparable folks from Albemarle County. And then one citizen, kind of is the tiebreaker if when the city and county get into
disagreeing,
and we've had several of those happen recently. Citizen representative, who is Mike Gaffney, actually is the tiebreaker.
And so we know that a couple people, if not all, didn't know enough about the topic and just chose to accept the vote yes on putting a chemical in the water supply without any research.
Well, that's just what we're hearing now. So.
Do you believe it to be true?
I wasn't there. Oh, I do believe it to be true, but I don't think it was malicious. I don't want to imply that.
And I'm not implying that it was malicious, but I am asking whether or not people appointed or elected to do the job fail to do so, whether they do it personally or whether they have assistance to provide them with that information. Did they fail at that task?
That's a good question. I'm not really ready to say that anybody failed at a task. The Ravana Water and Sewer Authority Board was dealing with some very, very major issues and very contentious issues, and this did just kind of slip through. But I do believe that water authorities in general think that chloramines are okay, that they think they can control the conditions and prevent lead and pinhole leaks and don't really believe that there's enough health issues. I mean, I really believe that in their hearts, if you want to say, that this wasn't as big a deal as it's come to be. But that's where the fact that it kind of slipped through the public's attention and I just think it happened. I don't really want to assign blame. At this point, that's looking back. I'd rather look forward. Say, really, okay, where are we now, and what options do we have? And again, that goes back to our options. It may have been perfectly legitimate for Hazen and Sawyer, the consultants, to say GAC is your next best bet, but hey, it's three times more expensive, so make a decision.
And we would be doing the work for the decision that we're pushing, or would they have done the work for the GAC as well?
That's a great question. I don't actually know the answer to that.
This is Dee Dee Smith. She's a Charlottesville City Councilor. As we talk about the possibility of chloramines in the drinking water, and seems to be that there aren't many pros, so we're talking a lot about the cons. Lori Delahunty, a researcher in pathology, as someone who doesn't have to go back and sit with the other, Kathy Galvin on the City Council or see Ken Boyd from Albemarle, would you say that the five people assigned to this task might have failed in doing their proper research?
I'm a research person. I have to look everything up. And, most people don't know about chloramines. Most people have never even heard of chloramines. Expecting, five lay people who don't have a science background to understand it may have been a little ambitious. However, it would have been really easy to do a minimum amount of homework on it and to at least Google it and come up with at least some pros and cons on it. The reason most people who work in laboratories or physicians or whatever know about it is because of kidney dialysis, and they know that you can't have chloramines in a situation where it's going to be in contact with blood, and that's sort of common knowledge among physicians and research people. We don't expect lay people who don't have a science background to actually know that, and I'm sure it wasn't malicious on their part, but you know, a minimum amount of homework would have come up at least with a list of pros and cons.
I think we're at an interesting place here now because, again, as I said at the top of the show, we really already comply with these EPA byproduct limits, these new limits. Yet, you know, the chloramines would bring those byproducts down. I mean, you were mentioning earlier there must be some pros, and that is a pro, that those particular byproducts that we're looking at, only those two, we're not looking at the myriad of other byproducts that are involved here, but the chloramines would do their job. They would bring those chlorine byproducts down. But here we are, so here we're at a decision point that maybe you could argue we don't need to be there, but we are. We are considering what would be a much better system regardless, and that would be GAC, the granular activated carbon. And the reason this would be, one of the really major reasons this would be a better system for us, is because we have just approved and are in the process of constructing a new reservoir. And over at the Ragged Mountain Natural Area, of course, anyone who's been around the Charlottesville area knows about this debate. And we basically are consolidating all of our diversified three reservoir system into one great big one that goes right under a federal highway. And so we have now this new threat to our future water supply of a diesel spill, of a truck falling in, or even a car, a gasoline diesel spill into our reservoir. And I'll tell you, chloramines won't do a thing for that, but granular activated carbon will actually filter out diesel fuel. So it adds one of the major benefits in my mind to GAC is that it gives us an added layer of security to our future water supply.
11:50 on the wake-up call. Dee Dee Smith, Lori Delahante, talking about chloramines in the drinking water and the possibility of that happening. Because it hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet. No. It's in the design phase, as maybe more than 70 now. There is time to make another decision.
And you know, you don't have to actually have a car, you know, have an accident and actually flip into the reservoir. Even like rain runoff that washes off the road and into the reservoir is going to wash off a lot of products of gasoline combustion and diesel combustion and dirt from the roadways are going to end up into the reservoir. And granulated activated carbon will filter that out.
Let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for letting us have this program today. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts, sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, online, brgtshirts.com. 11:52, just a few minutes left on our topic. And then at noon, Drew Thompson will be here for Les Temps Perdue. That's the best of 80s and 90s alternative music. Drew brings the roots of alternative because you can't understand where we are without first knowing where we've been. Take a trip back to the times gone by with Les Temps Perdue, only on WNRN. Dee Dee, Lori, all right, so we've identified that chloramines, it's a human carcinogen, causes corrosion, it kills fish, and the EPA approves it? I mean, so many people, on whichever side of the political aisle you're on, one side says the EPA, they spend way too much money doing way too much to save the environment. And then here we are, at least in this discussion today, saying, no, the Environmental Protection Agency is letting something into the system, approving it, that hurts people, places, and things.
You know, it's always a matter of balance, and what EPA is doing is balancing threats with benefits, costs with benefits, basically. And we do need to have some sort of disinfectant in our public drinking water, not really necessarily anymore for cholera and typhoid, but there are other pathogens out there. And chlorine has its own negative impacts. But, you know, we haven't been screaming and yelling about using chlorine. So it's really a matter of balance and weighing our options. And, you know, I think, as I say it, that's why I think we're in a good place right now, is we know so much more about what those options are and the benefits to our system today. Our system isn't the same system it was when it first was first built back in the, you know, 1800s, which is when Ragged Mountain was first put in. But, you know, we're just in a different place. And let's look to now. Let's not look backwards. Let's look right now. What would be the best decision for our system today?
But that's something that Charlottesville is often accused of, is looking to right now and not looking ahead. I mean, not to change topics, but just to go to the Western Bypass. There are many people who, even if you don't look back, people are saying you're only looking at right now. You need to look ahead to what the system would look like, you know, in the future.
Well, thank you. That's exactly what I should have said, because in the future, one of the big threats to our system is that the EPA will start regulating these chloramine byproducts, which they don't do today, and that we'll be back where we started, which is saying our chloramine byproducts are too high, we have to change our system, and at that point, GAC is where we'd go. So if we're looking ahead, that I would say today, looking at what we know today, looking ahead to the future, GAC would be the most prudent way to go.
Actually, EPA, even though they are, you know, sort of, you know, 20 years behind the times, and, you know, in terms of catching up to the scientific data, there's new data that's coming out all the time. In fact, some of the data that we cited has only come out in the last year. And just last week, in a publication called The American Water Intelligence, which is a water industry periodical, the big article in it is that the compliance period for EPA stage 2 disinfectants and disinfectant byproduct rules is suggesting that chloramine is on its way out, which means that they, it looks like EPA may start regulating some of these disinfection byproducts, in particular nitrosamines or MDMAs. And so it looks like fairly soon the rules are going to change, and they are going to start regulating some of these disinfection byproducts by chloramine.
All right, we got another call. How much influence is money having in this discussion?
Oh, well, it's having, according to what Hazen and Sawyer, the consultants, have told us, it's all about money. I think it was particularly at that information session that many of those experts, even the, you know, the ones from Blacksburg and all, said, yeah, GAC, it's a better option, but it's more expensive. And so we're going with the cheapest option. And in fact, that was really the rationale for the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority's decision back last June, was that, okay, we have to do something. It's going to be chloramine, or we could do a couple of these other things, but we just think for financial reasons, we're going with the cheapest option.
Even if we went with the Hazen and Sawyer's projection of what their cost of the granular activated carbon would be, it was projected that the cost per person per month on the water bill would be 91 cents per person per month. That's about 3 cents a day. 3 cents a day to have really, really clean water. Really clean, safe water without the specter of adverse health effects, of pipe corrosion, of all these unforeseen problems that would come up down the road. Now, is that really worth it to you? And now we've found out, we've got independent research looking at the cost for GAC, and it turns out they're exactly the same as chloramine. So, you know, cost, you know, this added cost may not be a factor anymore.
Yeah, can somebody go online? Because there are people, I'm sure, who say, let's see your numbers. Can you go online and look, or will you be able, because you said you just crunched these last night, is there a place for people to go online and look at a comparison about the dollar figures?
Yes, we will be posting this on our Facebook page, and our Facebook page is Charlottesville and Albemarle Residents Against Chloramine. Incidentally, ahead of the July 25th four boards meeting, we are having another information session. We are having another information session called What's Going Into Our Water, and it's a presentation by myself, Dr. Julia Whiting, and Galen Stagel. We put on a PowerPoint presentation, and we have a real sit-down, heart-to-heart talk about what chloramines are and what it means for our community. And that will be on July 19th, 6:30 to 8:45 p.m. at The Haven in their dining room on 112 West Market Street. And it's this Thursday.
All right. Just another minute left with our guests today, Lori Delahunty and Dee Dee Smith. Let me thank L. Oppelman for allowing us to be on air today. L. Oppelman's Pawn Shop, serving Lynchburg families for over a century at 909 Main Street. L. Oppelman always has a selection of jewelry, including estate jewelry and hand-picked GIA-certified diamonds and platinum wedding bands. L. Oppelman also has cultured pearls and watches. That's L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar Amherst. Lynchburg, just so you know, next Sunday we'll have two UVA professors from the Department of Politics discussing what can be done to improve our political system. Ladies, last chance, July 25th.
I believe.
And
7 p.m.
July 25th is a Wednesday?
Is it a Wednesday?
I don't know.
July 25th. I know it's July 25th. At 7 p.m. at Lane Auditorium. Come on out and let us know how you feel about this issue.
And additionally, there, in ahead of that meeting, there's going to be a teach-in on an information session on chloramine, which is a PowerPoint presentation given by myself, Dr. Julia Whiting, and Galen Stagel, and that will be Thursday, July 19th, 6:30 p.m. at The Haven in the dining room.
Which makes the 25th a Wednesday. Yeah.
All right. Thank you both for being here today. I hope the listeners got some information to help make your decision. And, you know, one of the things that bothers me most is that people get their information and then make their decision and then sit down and do nothing about it. So whatever your thoughts on it, please make them known. That's one of the things we'll talk about next week, about ways to improve our politics. All right, ladies.
Thank you, Rick, so much for the opportunity.
Have a great day.
Okay, thank you.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news. On newsstands Thursday, the wake-up call is also supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.